chapter.
Conrad, it's too late to add to the agenda.
All right. Good afternoon. This is Julie Fedorchak, Chairman of the Public Service Commission. It is shortly after 3 on Wednesday, December 7th, and we are gathered for a special meeting of the North Dakota Public Service Commission. I call this meeting to order. Okay, we have 2 items on the agenda, and we have an admin agenda as well. And so I don't really have any opening comments. I want to check and see if my colleagues do.
Nor do I.
Brian?
I would just, anybody that might be listening out there, remind folks it's Pearl Harbor Day today, the 75th anniversary of it. And so, you know, a lot going on. I think that sometimes we forget about these things. Actually, in a self-serving comment, Jordy, my daughter, the prodigy child, she did a story today with World War II veterans, a Iwo Jima veteran, and a veteran who actually was at Pearl Harbor. So KCRG.com if you're interested in it. Mm. But the you know, we always talk about how important veterans are and all that, and they are, and I'm a veteran myself as well as Randy is, and I know that your husband is, Julie, but I think that that's a special category of folks that fought through World War II, and even as they go through today, I mean, the folks that my daughter interviewed, they were both in their 90s, both spry, and they came back, and one was a teacher, and one worked blue-collar job for a living. They came back, and they did a lot of work, and they just made our country what it is. So that's my opening comment for today.
Well, thank you for that reminder. It's a good one. Okay, so we'll go ahead. I do not have either of the items on the agenda, so I will forward it on to my colleague who does. Brian.
Okay, thank you, Madam Chair. I believe I'm going to offer a motion, and I believe my colleague, our colleague, Commissioner Christman, is going to offer a substitute motion. So what I would do, if it pleases my colleagues, is I will just offer my motion without explaining it, then we'll get into the substitute motion, then after that's completed, we'll see where that goes. So that's kind of the protocol. So item BK1, I move the commission adopt the finding of fact, conclusion of law, and order in Glacier Ridge Wind Farm, LLC, Glacier Ridge Wind Farm Project, Barnes County, siting application, case number PU16539.
Second.
Thank you, Randy. And I'm not going to go through the order in detail until after you have a chance for your dissent, I believe, but the order that I put together today approves the wind farm. So with that, did you have anything you wanted to offer, Commissioner Christman?
I do, but first a point of order, if I may, Madam Chair. We don't have that many of these where we are on differing sides and on cases of I think significant legal importance and such. So in discussing it with legal counsel, I just wanted to kind of go through the process so that everybody realizes at what point you would want to vote how, because to me it seems awful confusing, our procedure.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
But it is what it is. So we currently have Commissioner Culk's motion on the table, and in a few moments I'm going to motion to substitute for that. And just in case that motion does not pass, I'm going to explain what the substitute would be there. But the bottom line is, passing that initial motion only really allows me to make a new motion, and then I would make the motion that I'll be explaining in a minute, the motion of deny the permit. And then if that is voted down, we would be back to Commissioner Culk's motion again. So really the first vote is really only going to be to have a vote on the actual motion to deny. But hopefully I'll at least get a second on this, and in the original motion I'll explain the point of it all and get it off my chest. So I move to substitute a motion to adopt findings of fact, conclusion of law, and order denying Glacier Ridge Wind Farm Project, Barnes County, siting application case number PU-16-539.
Second.
So the motion, if we do get to it, is being made because, to me, the process of siting a facility like this should include a big picture look at the situation, not just the specific list of details and requirements that we typically deal with in these cases. I do think the big picture is important, and in this case, it's best summarized in North Dakota Century Code 49-22, the Siting Act, and I'm not going to read this whole thing. I'm going to take bits and pieces that I think apply here and just read a sentence or two. The Legislative Assembly hereby declares it to be the policy of the state to site energy conversion facilities in an orderly manner compatible with the efficient use of resources. Sites shall be chosen, ensuring continuing system reliability and integrity, and ensuring that energy needs are met and fulfilled in an orderly and timely fashion. This application, to me, becomes problematic when you look at that big picture. And first of all, I want to acknowledge a couple of very positive things I see about this application. First of all, they have overwhelming local support, maybe the best local support we've seen for any wind farm, and I've voted to approve, I think, close to 10, probably at least 8 of them here. I'm not sure the exact number. This may be the strongest local support I've seen yet. However, our role in this process is about the environment and cultural resources and things like that, as well as I think the reason we have this responsibility is because of our knowledge and workings with the electric grid and utilities and things such as that. If the reason for siting is popular economic development, frankly, we should go to each of our investor-owned utilities and require them to build a multi-million dollar office building in every town they serve. It would be great economic development locally, but I think we can all see it would be a foolish move for the company and for the ratepayers, and so we would never do that. And so the strong local support, while important, is not enough to cause me to vote for this in and of itself. Second good thing I see about this is it's clearly a good area with a good wind resource and is even adjacent to an existing wind farm. So to me, that's beneficial. But if this application is denied, the resource doesn't go away. It continues to exist, really, to me, awaiting a more prepared applicant. And I use the term prepared applicant cautiously, because it suggests I find this to be an unprepared applicant. So why do I find it to be unprepared? Really, three reasons. One, we got to the hearing in the subsequent work session and found that after many years of planning this project, they didn't even have all the easements for the turbine locations. And in this mad dash to begin just enough construction to meet the qualification requirements for the production tax credits, now they're seeking to bifurcate the project and just do the portion where they have all the easements. The second thing that indicates this unpreparedness to me is that they have no interconnection agreement. We really have no idea what the ultimate plan will be to transmit this electricity, if it's ever produced, to an end user. In the meantime, there's a lot of other potential developments on the radar screen that we hear about, and is this project going to challenge other projects that might be actually ahead of them in having a place to go with their power and try and deny the other projects from getting onto the grid because this project is awaiting that? It just is so confusing when they don't have these things lined up. I really think that that's a huge problem for them. And third, and probably most importantly in the problem area, is that they don't have a buyer for the power. And in fact, one of the two applicants that they named by name at the hearing has subsequently made an announcement of other wind acquisition plans, so it seems doubtful that they're even in the running anymore. So with no transmission, no purchaser, really what we're left here is an application for an opportunity to acquire federal production tax subsidies. That's what we have, is an application for that purpose. And after starting this mad dash in order to meet the qualification requirements for the PTCs, they don't even have a plan to continue construction next spring after the frost comes out. In fact, they've been upfront with us and indicated they have no intention of working on this next year. And there really is no certainty that this is ever going to be built, only that it will be started. And according to our existing rules, this mad dash, if it is never built, will never trip the requirement to where they have to provide financial assurances. So I see in the initial order to approve, there is a requirement that this be built. I forget by what year, in 4 or 5 years, something like that, or else things be restored. But the fact is, if they don't do it, they never are being required here to do enough to trip the financial assurances. If they don't do it, we have nothing with which to do it. So while these problems that I've mentioned are not by themselves specific requirements for siting approval, cumulatively, they build a level of uncertainty that becomes, to me, the antithesis of the orderly development called for in Century Code 49-2202.
Here we have a substitute motion with a second. Is there further discussion?
I just have a question for my colleague, Randy. So the way I understand it, if we vote yes in this motion, that'll allow you to offer your version of your motion. Is that correct?
That is correct.
So will you be offering any other arguments if this is approved that you haven't already offered? Because if so, then I would be happy to approve this and hear any additional arguments. If you have no additional arguments, then I will vote no on this.
The arguments would be the same, and I can save you the time of not making them again, or I could make them again. But the benefit to me as a commissioner, and I think, is that if that motion comes up, then the order that it would apply to would be in our record.
Couldn't that be put in as a dissent after the motion regardless?
The dissent would be different than the order, okay. I presume, but...
Okay.
But you could take all the information from the
that is
order
correct.
And
that,
make it into a dissent.
That is correct.
That's the way this went.
Is there any further discussion?
Well, so I appreciate what you've put into this and the thought that you've given it, Randy, and this has been a long time coming, I think, having this conversation and kind of driving the wind discussion towards the reliability issue and the orderly development. Because I know that's something you've been thinking about for a long time. It's something I've been thinking about, and I know Commissioner Call thinks about it as well. But it sounds to me like I'm kind of in the middle here, so I'll share my thoughts now on this. I've looked at, and I appreciate getting this ahead of time so we could spend some time on it. I don't know where my little sheet is. I looked at the history at the commission and how we've reviewed these and what factors we've considered in the past. And really, you know, the key issues under the law as I see them are the environmental and the cultural, for sure, health and human welfare, and then the what you've laid out is the ensuring the continued system reliability and integrity, and that energy needs are met and fulfilled in an orderly and timely fashion. I agree with that as well. The location and construction operation being compatible with environmental preservation and efficient use of resources, also another key component. So the company has gone through, and the order lays out all the exhaustive environmental and cultural studies. I don't think you've objected and identified any shortcomings there, nor do I see any. The human impact, the welfare of the citizens, I think really comes into the setbacks, the sound and flicker studies, and this, the parameters that we've set on those issues and that have not, they aren't in rules, but they've been a guideline that a lot of them have followed, and they too have followed those and met those in this case. So I think those issues are addressed in this application. In terms of the orderly development and the system integrity and reliability issues, I guess this is where I deviate from you in one significant regard, and that is with the power purchase agreements and the interconnection agreements. The Commission has never used those in the past as a criteria for approving a wind facility permit. And so if we did use that today, I think it would be a major change in policy. I'm not sure that, and I think it would be perhaps a huge restraint on future wind development in our state. And so I view that being something that is more appropriate for the legislature to establish that level of regulatory bar, I think, would be overstepping what the legislature wants us to do. Because right now, I think the market is taking care of that and without us getting involved in, and we've permitted at least 10 projects without a power purchase agreement. And those projects either get the power purchase agreement and move ahead, aren't developed, in which case nothing really has been harmed, or they can sell directly into the market themselves. And I think at least we have one example of that happening in the past. I don't know if they are currently, but I think there was at least one example of a wind generation facility being constructed in North Dakota and selling directly into the market, which could happen. The interconnection agreement, my understanding on the interconnection agreement, while we don't require it in our order prior to construction, that's something I would entertain discussing moving forward as perhaps a rule. But right now, I think effectively the financers are the backstop for further development without an interconnection agreement, because I don't think that they will provide the financing to a project that can't connect to the grid. And so I think that's been an effective protection in that regard. So that leaves my one concern remaining that I know we share, and that's regarding the reclamation. And I know, and that is a weakness in this project. And we've worked with the company to address it, and they've made a commitment, because they're getting out in front of things on the development side, to secure the PTC, which I view not as being the company's fault. That's a fault in the PTC. That's a fault in our federal policy, which we nor the company can control. But I understand why they'd want to secure it. You'd be crazy as a business to not want to. Any business would do that. Coal, natural gas, farmers. I mean, every business seeks to use the tax code to their advantage. And there's nothing wrong with that. So I understand them wanting to do that. And my only issue is the reclamation, and I think we've attempted to address that as much as possible with our order. And ultimately, though, where I am convinced to support this project is that the local folks who drove this project, who are all in on it, and provided the easements, they are going in with their eyes wide open on what the potential downsides on the reclamation could be. And there isn't going to be tower construction. It will be dirt moving and something that, a lot of these landowners, I believe, could reclaim on their own if worse came to worse. Perhaps the roads are a bigger issue, but there again, completed roads, it's not like taking down wind towers. So I believe we've done what we can on the reclamation side, and we're working on rules to address that moving forward more permanently, and I think that's an important step in the right direction. But I can't vote against this project that I believe does meet, it's not an application for tax credits. I think it's an application for a wind farm that, if constructed, has proven that they meet the requirements under the law to get a permit for construction. And if they can't sell it and can't get that interconnection agreement, I don't think it's going to be constructed. And they'll be left to reclaim the small amount of construction that they are proposing to entertain on a short-term basis. So that's kind of how the issues fall out for me.
I would just want to reemphasize it's not necessarily a small amount of construction. It's enough to trip the PTC acceptance. So there's some significance to it. But I also want to reemphasize that I agree with you that we things like the interconnection agreement, point of sale have not been requirements in the past, but in the past we have never had one, at least in my recollection in 4 years here, with this many of these issues. No transmission, no power purchase agreement, not even a plan to continue construction, only to start. And we can put in all the requirements on some. No one goes into a business to fail. And we can put on all these requirements that, yes, after a certain point you have to reclaim it, but if they're insolvent, they're not there to reclaim it. That would be why it wouldn't be needing to be reclaimed. So from a reclamation standpoint, that only trips a deadline, but if this is not successful, they're not going to be there to do it. And so I think it's a pretty shallow... it's the only effort we can make under our rules, but I don't think it has any teeth to it.
I think if I'm remembering correctly, the Roulette project that was community-driven, I forget the name of that one. Was it Roulette?
I think it's Roulette Wind.
Roulette Wind. I know they didn't have an interconnection agreement. I don't believe they had a power purchase agreement either. So I think that might tell us something about the more community-driven projects, which are the ones that... in my mind, we should be encouraging because they are community-driven and they do show a lot of interest amongst the folks that are living there and will be living with it and benefiting from it. Those have a harder time getting on the radar screen.
Correct me if I'm wrong. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
Correct me if I'm wrong. I don't think they were out there moving dirt, though, either yet.
Well, we don't know. They could be. I mean, any one of these past projects we've approved could have done this very thing. We just don't know about it because they didn't tell us and there wasn't this urgent of a deadline. But we don't have anything in our orders to prevent them from doing this very same thing.
Okay, is there any further discussion? Sensing none, just to reiterate that this motion would, if approved, would allow for a substitute motion. Okay, I'm going to proceed with a roll call vote. Commissioner Fedorchak?
Nay.
Commissioner Chrisman?
Aye.
Commissioner Kalk?
No.
Motion is defeated.
Okay. Well, then that brings us back to our original motion.
We will go back to the original motion. We have a motion and a second. Is there further discussion on the original motion?
All right. I'll take a few minutes and hit some of the points of the order today. In July of this year, Glacier Ridge filed an application to build a 300-megawatt wind farm to be constructed approximately 5 miles northeast of Valley City. The commission received that request and on August 24th deemed the application complete and issued a notice of filing, a notice of hearing, scheduling a public hearing on September 27th, 9 a.m. Central Time in the Bankstead Auditorium at Valley City State. One of the things I want to highlight on this is that my colleagues had very robust discussion about a lot of different things here in the wind farm, but I want to refresh everyone's memory back to when our staff deemed this complete. For many years, the commission didn't require turbine locations till we got to the hearing. And then we moved it to 10 days. 10 days prior to the hearing, we wanted the turbine locations. And then the Brady 2, I think it was, we said we want turbine locations 30 days beforehand. But in this particular wind farm, that's where I brought up for the first time to my colleagues, I said, I am not moving this forward application complete until we have the final turbine location. So that was a significant move in policy on what we had done. And for me going forward, that is where I'm going to be at, that I will not bring a motion as long as I have the portfolio forward unless the final turbine location is there. So the rules are ever – rules and policies, what we do are ever evolving. So we've moved a long way on this project from initially turbine locations until we got to the hearing, lessons learned. So I just want to refresh folks to that fact that this was the first time we'd required that before we deemed it complete. I know the company had some concerns, but I think it was the right thing to do. I also wanted to remind folks that I also talked about deeming that complete, that I intended to make continued system reliability an issue at the hearing. And I felt that was fair because it had perhaps never been a forefront issue at previous hearings, but you could see it building over time. And so made it very clear to the company that I was going to be asking a lot of questions about how they were going to ensure continued system reliability on the grid. And so when we actually got to the hearing, the company had brought in a witness just for those questions, and I thought they did a nice job. So as we deemed it complete, there was many things that we did in this wind farm that I think were the first time, and I think that they were the right move. The as you look through the issues that we considered, I know that, you know, my colleagues know it very well, but the, you know, minimal effect on the environment and public welfare, that's minimum, not no. You know, are they compatible with preservation and efficient use of resources? And, of course, I just talked about the continued system reliability. The public hearing was held as scheduled. And quite honestly, looking back at that hearing, I've been involved in a lot more controversial wind farm hearings than that one. It really was not that controversial. The issue that really stood out was the company had not secured a renewal of easements in the northern portion of the wind farm. So that was the thing I think that really kind of triggered some things that I was just not expecting. That had the company come in with all those easements in place, I think this wind farm hearing would have moved. This wind farm would have moved along probably 60 days quicker. But there was some challenges. They had initial easements that expired in 4 years, and not really, I think, relevant to. Well, no, it is relevant, but it was surprising that they did not alert us to that fact before the hearing. To me, that was the one thing. If the company is listening out there, which I'm sure they are, or others. That really kind of think soured the water on some of, I think, and I'm not trying to put words in Commissioner Crispin's mouth, but I think that maybe I am trying to put words in your mouth, Randy, but I think that when you come in and have those things, I think it sets the stage for a lot of other things that maybe the company's not as prepared as they should be because those easements weren't in place. But nevertheless, to me, when I think back at this hearing, that was the only thing that really stuck out to me that was kind of out of the ordinary. The witness that came in and talked about continued system reliability, he walked through a very detailed procedure, how they'd filed the interconnections with the three different areas that was appropriate, MISO, Southwest Power Pool. They'd been in discussion with Minn Kota, who shared that transmission line that goes through the area. From my work inside the RTOs, I know that the process – by someone filing a request for interconnection, it doesn't put you ahead or behind someone else in the queue. They continue to evaluate the different models. And to me, that is the area where the continued system reliability, I think that as long as we've verified that they've got someone that can attest to what they have done, we let that system work itself out because they're not going to let someone hook to the grid unless they've proven or the upgrades are in that it contributes to continued system reliability. And that's where we don't determine the reliability of the grid. That has been determined by Order 1000 and other things many years ago that's what they do. So so the hearing went through. After the hearing, we had some October 27th and 18th, Glacier Ridge filed late filed exhibits from things we asked for in the hearing. Still nothing about the easements. The company filed their proposed findings of fact on October 20th. Still hadn't answered the questions about easements. The commission held a work session. I think we told them in the work session November 2nd that, for me personally, this is not going anywhere unless you get all these easements in place. They continued to file updated exhibits but still didn't get to the question. And the November 23rd work session, I think I just basically said, listen, from my viewpoint, either you get this all these easements in, you narrow the scope, or this is going nowhere, which was the same thing that was said months before. So based on that, I think in some other discussion, the company filed a request to amend their initial application to can basically call it phase one and phase two, with phase one being a reduced scope of the project. And that's what this order today would approve, is phase one. I'll go through a few more of the findings of fact. Glacier Ridge is a corporation that, based out of Delaware but authorized to do business in North Dakota. The revised phase one project is 179.4 megawatts, up to 52 wind turbines. Vestas 3.45 is what they're looking at right now. And they'll include access road, underground collection system, combined substations, and a maintenance building. The rotors will be 285 feet to 413 feet. Hub height, I'm sorry, of 285. Rotor diameter of 413. Appropriate roads will be in place. Anticipated costs of phase one is $202 million. I think my colleague, Commissioner Fedorchak, already kind of referred to this, but the habitat studies, the archaeological studies, all those things were taken care of. The SHPO came back and concurred with the studies. There was two cases where Shadow Flicker exceeded 30 hours at two occupied residences. There was waivers obtained from those two residences. And just for those listening, 30 hours is a guideline, so it's not anything particularly that is out there in code, but it's a guideline that I think is fair and appropriate. The commission notified appropriate state and federal agencies. No objections have been received by any of the state and federal agencies. Barnes County Commission issued a conditional use permit on October 5th, 2016, for the wind farm. One of the things that came out in the initial hearing was that the county had approved that an additional conditional, a original conditional use permit, but that time had perhaps expired, so the company did go back and meet with Barnes County Commission. To me, that's significant. Here we have October 5th. The County Commission had another look at it from the county's viewpoint. The County Commission, those regulators, if you will, or not regulators, those law body people, how's that word? What's the word I'm looking for? Commissioners, closest to, there's another word I'm looking for on that. What do you call them, Alana? Local what?
Leaders.
Local leaders. There we go. The local leaders had a look at it. They thought the project met all their requirements. Okay. Testified they're avoiding all U.S. Fish and Wildlife easements. Some of the things that I think my colleague, Commissioner Fedorchak, did talk about, too, was the big one of talking about one of the conclusions in it, that there are some triggers on the order. Huh. Isn't that interesting? Yeah, I grabbed the wrong order. At the very end of what the company is going to do, subject to the approval by the FAA, Glacier Ridge shall use commercially reasonable efforts to install aircraft detection and lighting systems or other technologically suitable to the commission in phase one as soon as practicable. And also there's discussion in there about the about in the event that no turbines are installed in phase one before December of 2020, Glacier Ridge must remove all towers, remove all other above ground facilities, not less than 3 feet. And it goes through a variety of criteria, but I think that's a very appropriate in there. And this is an order, so if they don't do those things, they violate the order and all those standard procedures would apply. One thing, now that I have the right page in front of me, that I think for me really prompted me to support the phase one reduction was this, that all parcels within phase one are owned by participants in the Glacier Ridge Wind Farm. So this is a property rights issue too, as well. These people, it's their property. They have decided to go into a business venture. They have met into all the criteria that I believe that are required by us. It's their property. And so they understand, like you said, bringing into it with eyes wide open with our robust discussion about this, what they're getting into. And so to me, that was the big thing. It's owned by them. They've had the discussion. They've been harassing our staff about how important this is to them. So I think that to me, I may look differently at something in the future if it's not owned by the individuals, but we'll leave that decision, I guess, as we get to it. The company will be using the SCADA system. They've committed to implementing a cleaning process for construction equipment to cut down noxious weeds. They've agreed to continue coordination with the Fish and Wildlife Service and North Dakota Game and Fish concerning the eagles. They have committed to keeping the vehicle speed under 25 miles per hour. We don't enforce that, but they're committing to it, so that's kind of one of the things that they're willing to do. They will be filing a decommissioning plan with the commission. And so basically I think everything is in order on this case. I will go back to, I think, the initial comments to circle back around that I think that the company really got off on the wrong foot when they got to the hearing and they didn't have the easements in place. And I think that they spent a lot of time twiddling their thumbs about what to do next. But once they finally got the message that we're not going to move on this till you get all the easements in place, I think that it's worked out fine. And the siting criteria says if you meet the environmental criteria of this thing as well as the others, we should and therefore shall approve it. And so I think this has met the criteria, and I intend to support the order.
Is there any further discussion?
I would just make one comment in addition to what I've already said, and that is that I appreciate the company's commitment to the lighting system that is radar triggered and will be off most of the time and on when need be to help protect air traffic in the area. That's a really important component for this and all future wind development in North Dakota, to use the latest and greatest in that regards and to do whatever can be done to minimize the impact to the people living near these facilities. So appreciate that, and we'll be watching those reports pretty closely to see how the progress is coming on that regard.
Is there further discussion?
Well, thank you, Darrell. I had one more point that I forgot to bring out. The question came up in one of our work sessions about, you know, what do we do about phase two? And I think we cross that bridge and we come to it. If the company comes back in phase two, these are my viewpoints only. But if the company comes back in a couple of weeks with a phase two update, then we'll deal with it that time. If there's some period of time that they come back and they want a decision 2, 3, 4, 5 years from now, we'll make a decision at that time. But the typical one, the commission approves an order, it's good for 4 years. To complete construction. If they don't complete construction or start construction that four-year period, then they have to come back. So that's kind of the backdrop of things that we may or may not do. So certainly not made any decisions about phase two, but that's the way I would envision it playing out, that at some point the company comes back and wants us to address phase two, and then we'll have to make a decision about whether we would do an informal, whether we would do a full-blown hearing, or whether it would be something that could be done. But we'll cross that bridge when we come to it.
Is there further discussion?
And that partially gets at the one question that I have. The company requested that we approve phase one and hold in abeyance the other portion, about roughly 120 megawatts. I really don't know what that means to us when we hold it in abeyance, other than what you've just described. And the order is kind of silent on that request. Are we holding it in abeyance, if that means anything? And if not, are we just approving this? Or I really don't know what that means and whether we're granting that request to hold it in abeyance.
I will give you my understanding of that, and then I'll let Zach clean it up here. But the way I understand it is just that we've made a decision to approve phase one and hold in abeyance the second portion of it, meaning we don't vote to approve it or disapprove it. It's still considered open. When the information that we've requested for the whole project comes in, staff will bring something forward that they feel they've answered our questions, and we'll go. I think the question maybe that is, how long do we hold this in abeyance? And I think for me, I think I would look at it that I guess I had never thought about that till just now. But I think practically speaking that, you know, get an update probably 6 months from now to see where we're at. But Zach, that's kind of me speaking off the cuff a little bit here, but we talked about this a little bit. But
right, and to address Commissioner Crispin's concern, it is in the order. It's order provision one on page 7, the Glacier Wind motion to amend the application to bifurcate the project area and stay decision on phase two is granted.
Oh, okay.
So it is in there, but as far as the stay, I would view it as is effectively it is stayed. It is not, no action is going to be taken by the commission on phase two. Phase one is being approved, assuming the vote today is for approval. Phase two is essentially in the company's hand as to when it would approach the commission as to phase two. We can certainly get updates from the company and request that as to where they're at, but no action will be taken by the commission on phase two without requests from the company.
Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, I will proceed with roll call vote. Commissioner Fedorchak.
Aye.
Commissioner Crisman.
Nay.
Commissioner Kalk.
Aye.
The motion is approved.
Okay. I have one more, Madam Chair.
Okay. Hold on, Brian.
Oh, okay.
Or you probably want to mention you.
I will be providing a dissent in a few days.
Thank you, sir. Okay, item BK2. I move the Commission execute a contract with K2 Engineers and Consultants, Inc. for construction inspection services in Glacier Ridge Wind Farm, LLC, Glacier Ridge Wind Farm Project, Barnes County, siting application, case number PU16539.
Second.
Thank you. I'm not going to go through these. The standard construction inspection, normally they're on consent, but we didn't have a consent today, so I just wanted to put it on the regular agenda.
Here we have a motion and a second. Is there further discussion? Since not, I'll proceed with a roll call vote. Commissioner Fedorchuk?
Aye.
Commissioner Christman?
Aye.
Commissioner Kalk?
Aye.
The motion is approved.
That concludes my portfolio, Madam Chair.
Okay, excellent. Moving right along, we have a couple items on admin, and they're all on consent. So I move passage of those items.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Is there further discussion?
I don't have any points about the motions of the proposed legislation, but I didn't know if we need to talk anything through that I'd missed, or
looked through it. I thought it looks good. I think
Okay, so what's the process again, Alana? You file tomorrow, and then the wheeling and dealing starts. And then we'll get a date when we need to come down and testify on these. And that's why Conrad is here so feverishly. When are we going to talk about the legislative stuff and going to hearings, or not hearings, covering those meetings? That'll be a January topic.
Well, what do you mean?
Well, just, you know,
we've already talked about how we're going to cover the legislative stuff.
All right.
We need a vote.
Pardon?
We need
a vote. I know we need to vote on this, but I'm just, that's a separate item.
Yeah. Okay.
On this, though, even though it's on consent, I really hadn't been thinking about it being on consent, and so I did have a comment on one of the legislative things, so
okay. That's
all right. On the bills that are going to be proposed tomorrow, and I think that's why we're having this on, to give staff approval to file those bills. Am I correct, Alana?
Correct.
That's correct.
So the big one that is complicated, the grain licensing rewrite, we got some feedback from the grain dealers. My meeting with the Ag Coalition got canceled because of weather. Things were pretty hectic the last few days in the organizational session. Didn't get as much feedback as I hoped from some of the legislators. This is clearly a work in progress, and I just want everybody to understand that if they're listening in, as well as ourselves and our staff. I don't think anyone should feel like it was poorly written or poorly planned when the amendments start rolling in. I expect there are going to be numerous amendments over the next 4 or 5 months with this, but I think that grain licensing staff, as well as legal, have done a very good job of getting an initial draft put together here, and it's something that is more than a placeholder, but at least it serves as the placeholder so we have the bill and can continue to meet with groups when weather allows and legislators when they have time and all the different things that are involved in perfecting this. And so hats off to them. We know there's a lot of changes coming up in it, but I think it certainly marks our place and is a pretty good first start.
Good.
Is there any further discussion? Since none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed? Motion is approved.
Okay. Well, I know that there might be some other matters to talk about, but I have to be at the Ramcota to give a keynote at the water users in 10 minutes. So I would like to adjourn. And
talk about anything. Special meeting.
Yep.
Oh, that's right. I thought there might have been some scheduling issues, but we can deal with those later. All righty. We are adjourned.
Good luck.
Thank you.
I'm going to slide there.
Hester, do you have stuff for us to sign?
Do you want to sign before you leave? Excuse me? Do you want to sign before you leave? No, I want to sign tomorrow.
Okay. Tomorrow, no. It's not going out until there's a...
sent written.
Right, so we have time.
Yeah.
It won't be until Monday.